You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
We live in the golden age of athleticism. Everywhere around the world, sports people are getting faster, stronger, more explosive. They're recovering from injuries quicker. One of the primary reasons for this is the rapidly advancing field of sports science. Welcome to Secrets of Sports Science, a podcast series into the exciting and ever-changing world of elite sporting performance. I'm your host Rudranil Sengupta, and each week I'll be talking to leading experts from the field to bring you a peek into the makings of a modern athlete. Abhinav Bindra is a pioneer in much many more ways than one. I mean, we of course know him as India's first individual Olympic gold medalist, which is really like the most remarkable thing anybody could do. But beyond that, I've known him for a long time, and he was always a person who did things differently. One of the other things he pioneered was the use of sports science in his field, and even about mental health, things that we now talk about, and we all know the importance of these things now, and athletes talk about it and coaches talk about it, how important it is to have the backing from sports science, to have that mental health backing. But when Bindra was an active athlete, these were not things that people really knew that well in India or spoke about it, except for him. And in some ways, you can even say that this podcast is a result of things that I actually, ideas that actually he put in my head. Because I remember a long time back, maybe a decade ago, I was in his house and I was watching him train. I think he was preparing for the London Olympics. And I was amazed at the array of gadgets and machinery around him and the approach he took, just from in terms of his physical training as well as his recovery. He had a little gadget that he showed me, I remember still, which was a laser pointer that he would put on his forehead, and he would try to keep it very, very still on a target. And he said that, you know, that gave him an idea of how well he was doing when he had to stand still and actually aim at a target. And I would never have even thought that a shooter would do so much, because, you know, shooting is such a static sport. You see people, they're standing there, they're aiming at something, they're firing. You don't really understand what goes behind it in terms of in the physical sense of the word, because of course it's very easy to know that a football player or a weightlifter or a wrestler, needs a lot of physical work. And it's so easy to then understand that, yes, they need sports science. But for a shooter, that was new to me. And it was because of Bindra that I started realizing the importance of these things. You know, it's only right that we are ending this season of Secrets of Sports Science with somebody who has worked very, very closely with Abhinav on these things. He was, in fact, Bindra's physiotherapist from 2012 to 2016, between the London and Rio Olympics. He was the team medic for the shooting team for the Rio Games. I'm talking about Dr. Dikpal Ranawat, who is the director for the Abhinav Bindra Targeting Performance Centers, which is spread across the country, 12 locations. There's an app as well. So it's a privilege and a pleasure to invite Dr. Ranawat here for this show. And Dr. Ranawat, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thanks to you, Rudranil. Thank you for this opportunity. And when we talk about shooting or the journey, it's a very exciting journey I had. And there is so much to share with the audience.
Amazing. So, I mean, of course, it's an exciting journey. Anything that involves Abhinav Bindra turns out to be exciting. I will start with that. Usually we start with something really geeky and nerdy, but I will make an exception here and we'll start with your journey with Abhinav, which, like I said, like in many other things, he was also a pioneer when it came to understanding and promoting the role of sports science in performance. So tell us a little bit about how you met him and how you started working with him.
Yes. So I got a chance to meet Abhinav in 2012 when he was looking at also creating a good team on ground. So generally used to shuttle between Germany, where his shooting coach is, and he used to train in India as well. So he needed good team to help him also understand and align the kind of a void. And that's where I got this opportunity. I met Abhinav initially, and for me it was a very exciting opportunity because I got a chance to work with India's first individual Olympic gold medalist, and I've only read and heard about him. And when, as a physical therapist, when you get a chance to work with the best athlete, it's kind of a dream come true. But it comes with its own challenges as well, because when you're working with an Olympic champion, it comes with its own demands. So I can assure you, and I can share this with the other athletes as well, that my journey and the experience was priceless, because it was extremely challenging. To be a support staff with Abhinav Bindra was where I have to put in 1000% every single day. And there were no excuses. There were only one thing, which was excellence. So this was kind of an a bit of my journey and experience.
Right. So that demand that you talk about, that was like absolutely a unique demand, because of course, when you were working with him, there were no other Olympic champions. He was just not just another athlete or even a world-class athlete, but he was actually an Olympic champion. And India had to wait so, so long for that. So I don't know what pressures you faced, but what I want to ask you is that, you know, you come from you are a judoka yourself. You are a national level judoka. And then you went into physiotherapy and sports science. Did you ever work with shooters before you came to Bindra, or was that your first experience with a shooter?
So that was my first experience. And just to express, being an judo is a very dynamic sport where you need to work on a lot of different elements like strength, power, conditioning, flexibility, mobility, and it's a contact sport where the chances of injuries are very high. Vis-a-vis, when you look at shooting, you know, the persona people have, that shooting is just you have to go stand and shoot. But I can assure you that when I got this opportunity to understand the sport, to understand the demands of the sport, it's very physical in nature as well. So for a shooter to shoot, there are three important elements. There's physical, mental, and tactical or technical element. So from the shooting per se, when it comes to technical element, the shooters go to their coaches, they go to the shooting range, and they train on the technical element. But when it comes to physical element, there's a big void, because people are not very clear about, what are the key elements required for someone to be a good shooter. So from the physical per se, what we worked on was... when we talk about shooting, shooting is all about staying very still. And you're going against the law of nature, where the human body is meant to move. And what you're doing here is you're trying to be extremely still. If you ask someone to even stand for a few seconds still, you'll see a lot of sway. And that's the nature of the sport, where you have to precisely mold or adapt to a particular stance, which is most suitable for you to be still and then shoot. So in this kind of shooting, we used to work on a lot of stability, mobility work, also strength work. There's a lot of correction because there's a lot of unnatural stress on the spine, which the shooters face. They have to wear this very tight, heavy jacket. They have to wear stiff boots. And I got a chance to try it a few times, because when you work with an athlete, it's important to understand what the athlete goes through, what is their position like. And it was very difficult. Apart from that, in shooting, they have to work on a lot of cardiovascular conditioning or strength as well. Because for a shooter, they cannot, in a pressure scenario, if their conditioning level is not good, if their heart rate goes up, it's going to affect the quality of their shot as well. So shooting is just not about technical training, but there's a lot of physical and mental element to it.
Right. Also, as a physiotherapist, you're always very concerned with proper posture and postural alignment. And like you said, that in shooting, it's actually quite an unnatural postural alignment. It's not it's not even that you keep your spine straight. You have a kind of a bent, right? I've seen a shooter stand, there's a little bit of a backward bend, and you'll have to hold that position, which is not an even position on both legs. So the spine is in a slightly unnatural position, the legs are not evenly balanced, and that is the correct posture for shooting, which would not be the correct posture for anything else, right? So how tricky is it to actually work when you have this kind of a postural requirement?
So you see, the idea is not to get complete balance or equilibrium on both the sides, because the sport requires a very unnatural suited posture for that particular athlete. But the important thing here is that when you adapt to a particular posture, which is unnatural over the time period, it leads to a lot of secondary complications or secondary issues. So physical therapist has an important role, first of all, to screen those limitations for the athlete in terms of joint mobility, in terms of the muscles which are overworking. There are muscles which are inhibited, the areas which are being compensated because the athlete is shooting on daily basis, and they have to jot it down and create a customized program for the athlete to make sure that they are able to unwind out of that posture. So tomorrow they can go and push a little bit more without further compromising their stance or overall shooting technique.
Right. So it's a question of, firstly, developing enough strength to be able to hold that posture for a long period, and also then enough recovery so that the muscle imbalances and things like that that happen because you're constantly in that posture don't actually have long-term effects, and you can actually, your body can relax and come back to its normal state.
So in this, I'll go a few steps behind. It's very important for the support staff to understand. For any athlete, you have to start with a very scientific, sports-specific assessment. And for shooting, when it comes to stability, if I have to check stability or balance for an athlete, the best approach would be to look out for a very objective system in place, which can give you numbers to have a starting point and help create a scientific program from there. So generally, things are more subjective in nature. In our ecosystem, when an athlete goes to a sports scientist or physical therapist, if they don't have specific tools to assess the requirement of the athlete, you know, it's more guesswork. And that's what we want to take it away through sports science. Where for shooters, what we generally do is, so we have our centers called Abhinav Bindra Targeting Performance Centers. We have a posture lab there. So if a shooter comes in, we have stabilometry platform specific to shooting, where we do test for the shooters to check their balance on both the feet. We get information like how much sway they have, or what is their elapse area, is the overall area created by the center of pressure in those 30 seconds by the athlete. And it also gives us information about the trunk sway the athlete has. And based on that, we do further assessments also for the athlete, where we check their postural muscle imbalances they hold. We also do stability testing for their pelvis, which is very specific to their sport. And then design a customized training program for them, which is well suited for that athlete. And generally, what we suggest is for an athlete to have accountability. They should at least do four seasonal testing throughout their periodization plan for that season. So what will happen is, when you do your first objective assessment, that becomes a baseline for you to look at the area of improvement. You make a customized plan. You reassess and see how much improvement you have gained. Tweak the program again. Do you really, now you have improved on strength? Do you need mobility or stability to work on? Is it joint specific, or is it more generalized stability you need to work on? So all this information is key for an athlete to be in a good physical state when they're competing.
So let me take you back to when you were working with Abhinav. You didn't have the use of a stabilometry platform at that time, did you?
So we did, as you you know, started your episode expressing about Abhinav being an athlete who has always looked out for elements of technology which can help him become a better athlete. And he has the one important element of work we had was that in the morning, the routine was such where in the morning he'll shoot. After that, we used to just make notes. What were the elements? What things were not aligned? We used to refer on the past notes as well. Then we used to have some post-recovery, post-shooting recovery sessions. After that, we used to work on some technical elements to fix a particular area which has an impact either on his point zero, on his triggering, or on his overall neck stability as well. Then post-lunch, we used to work where the training was spread over his requirement in that week. It was specific strength with control training rather than just general strength training. We used to have few bouts of cardio training as well. And the work was more focused more on core strengthening and resolving a bit of imbalances which he hold through mobility and stretching drills, and also adequate recovery was key.
Right. So what are the key areas of concern in when it comes to shooting with the athlete's body? The spine is definitely one I can think of, but what are the other key areas, especially for a rifle shooter?
So the most common injuries or the issues the athlete in the sport of pistol or rifle shooting they face is, you know, they have shoulder injuries or impingement. Because in the shooting posture, they have to hold the posture in particular manner where the muscles, some are underworking, some are overworking, which leads to a certain form of overuse injuries as well. Back issues are very common in shooters. Ankle stability issues are very common in shooters. A lot of shooters who have flat foot, they complain of a knee pain as well over the time period. So all these things are more musculoskeletal related to their underlying demands of the posture to shoot better. And that's where the team needs to do a quality assessment for them, understand what are their requirements in terms of stability, mobility, strength, and create a routine to focus on all these elements to make sure that there is not a space where they have been overusing a particular area, and they have been working on the demands of stability and strength requirement for their posture.
Right. The neck is obviously one of the key areas. You said the neck, the back, the ankles. So because, you know, keeping the neck very, very still when you are aiming at the target and when you're actually firing the trigger is critical for shooters. And when I mean very, very still, I mean like really like rock still. This is not just a normal person being still. This is a different kind of stillness. Do you find yourself doing a lot of neck work with athletes in terms of building that stabilization? What kind of neck work is it?
So for a shooter, when it comes to the various segments, so generally they consider the body as a unit, not in segments. And if you talk about the rifle as well, it's an extended part of their posture. And it's very important for the support staff to understand that how do they plan their routine or what areas they need to focus on for a shooter.
Right. So let's say you're looking at Abhinav as a whole unit and not just one part. What were the, when you started working with him, what were the little things that you needed to address?
So as you would have heard Abhinav saying that it's not every 4 years, it's every single day.
Yeah.
So for a shooter, everything starts there. It's not how much do they train, it's the quality of training what they do every single day. And in that one session as well, it's not the quality of that one session, it's every repetition. So when we talk about every repetition, small things matters in the sport of shooting. For example, if they have to do some strength training, when they do a strength training, if they don't have a scientific sensorized platform, what will happen is in the normal gym, when the athlete is training, the mirror is the only form of feedback they hold. With that, it's very difficult to pinpoint or give information how much weight the athlete is putting on left side as compared to right side, what impact that holds on their ankle joint, knee joint, hip joint, and how much compensation they will make from the trunk. And this is what we are talking about, which is the quality of movement or quality of training. So in our facility, we have created a functional lab where we have a sensorized platform, shooters come in, where there's a camera in front which create different markers for the athlete, which gives information about 1 degree of variation in their joints to 1 gram of weight shift which they hold. So that's where we are able to quantify the quality of movement every single repetition the athlete does. And this was the same thing which we incorporated in Abhinav's training as well when he was preparing for the Olympic Games. He had his own challenges. He had a lot of injuries during that phase. If you read his book as well, he had certain neurological issues as well, which impacted his overall quality of shooting. But it was going back to quality work, assessing things, and also monitoring every session, every repetition made the difference overall. So for a shooter, it's very important that when they are structuring their training program, they have to emphasize on strength, stability, mobility, cardiovascular training as well. And at the same time, when they structure their training, it's not about how much weight they lift. It's not about how much distance they covered. It's not about how hard they push. It's about the quality of every repetition, what they do with a limited amount of weight, and how does it transfer into the field of play for them, which is shooting.
Right. I know that every individual is different and every athlete is different, and you have to be very, very individually, in all your programs are very individually tailored. But just to look at the 10-meter air rifle as a sport, almost everyone has to follow more or less the same kind of thing, right? I mean, it's a posture. Finally, at the end of the day, is 90% the same for everyone. So is there one particular aspect which needs more recovery, which needs more work for when it comes to 10-meter air rifle shooting, that is a specific area of concern?
Yes. So if I talk about the body or the biomechanics and the impact of that in shooting, I would talk about pelvis as an important area, because it connects your torso and your lower limb as well. And for shooters, any imbalances or mobility or overuse of certain muscles has a direct impact on their spine and also their posture. So it's very important if the shooters can do a specific assessment to gauge their pelvic mobility and stability time to time. Also create a routine around where they are able to make sure that they have some quality program in place to work on their hip mobility and also spine mobility. That will help them overall to gauge better stability as well, and try and limit the amount of further compensation which might happen because of the demand of the posture in their event.
Right, because the hip is kind of, the pelvis is kind of angled in a one particular direction, right? It's not, again, like we said before, it's not just a equilibrium thing. And does the spine get compressed a lot? Is that also a problem in terms of lower back pains and stuff like that? Is that something shooters face a lot?
Yes, a lot of shooters, we see a functional scoliosis in their posture, because as every person has, every athlete who...
What is functional scoliosis, if somebody doesn't know that?
So functional scoliosis is the imbalances in the spine, which causes the spine to divert in an S-shaped curvature. Where one side of the muscles are overworking, the other side are not working well. And because in shooting, the athlete has to adapt a particular posture in the spine. So functional scoliosis is something which is very commonly seen in shooting athletes. Another important element is spine as unit inserts into the pelvis. Right. And for shooters, again, it's not that they can work on segmental areas to gauge some outcome, because the posture is such, as I've said, the demand of the sport is such where it's better to view the body as a unit and then understand the mechanics of the shooter, the demand required for him to be more stable and aligned, and then accordingly work on those requirements in terms of strength, stability, mobility, and endurance.
Right. And how do you address scoliosis in terms of physical therapy?
So there are certain ways to look at functional scoliosis. First of all, it's very important to do a thorough assessment for the athlete or the client. And based on the assessment, you have to also understand the root cause. Was it because of a particular repetitive stress or the occupation the athlete or the client might hold? And then also look at the severity of the functional scoliosis the client or the athlete might have. And based on that, also look at the elements like the pelvis and the spine. Also, if there are any, you can say, symptoms, aggravating symptoms because of that, which are limiting the day-to-day activity for the client. And then make a customized program for the client when it comes to working on the limiting factors like poor mobility, you know, engaging core muscles, strengthening certain muscles, and retraining the posture through the principle of biofeedback.
Right, right. So the core muscles are also very important here, because again, they are part of the, you know, the stability unit of the body. So a lot of the back problems can be fixed because you maybe you don't have a strong enough core, and if you strengthen that, that automatically starts fixing back problems. You know, you've worked so much with shooters. One of the things I wanted to ask you is that, are there specific little tips that you could give me if it comes to somebody who's not an athlete, but let's say that person has a job that has certain similar demands? For example, chefs spend all their time standing. You know, they could go 8, 9, 10 hours standing in a kitchen. You know, and more or less in a very limited space with very limited movement. So, you know, a lot of similarities with the kind of pressures that a shooter will face on his or her body. Are there tips and tricks that they can do just by themselves to make their experience a little less painful?
So you see, just not, I would say, you know, specifically to chefs. Right now, if you see, because of the lifestyle-related disorders or changes, people sit in front of the computers for longer duration. The posture, yes, it's been impacted in a very bad way, where they have aches and pains over the time period, which they have an impact on their neck, on their spine, as well on their day-to-day activity as well. So right. I would suggest the easiest thing for anyone to do in their hectic schedule lifestyle is to be aware to take frequent breaks, where they can start with some basic physical activities like you know, just going out and walking and tracking their number of steps as well. Second important element I would say is to focus on flexibility as well. Because when you sit for a longer duration, the muscles are shortened. You are holding a particular posture against gravity. And if you use that particular posture day in, day out, you know, your body adapts to that posture. And then to, again, retrain your body, it takes a certain amount of regular effort in terms of understanding what has limited that posture. Is it it's poor mobility? Is it lack of flexibility? Is it a lack of muscle strength? And accordingly, you can work around it. So to express on those areas, I would say if someone can make a 10 minutes routine to do a general holistic flexibility routine on daily basis, where they can do, you know, they can stretch their hamstrings, they can stretch their hip flexors, if they can stretch also their shoulder girdle, that will help them overall to limit the secondary complications which happens because of tight muscles, and then further limiting to poor mobility and musculoskeletal issues like neck pain, back pain, and other joint specific conditions as well.
Right. We're almost at the end of this episode, Dr. Ranawat, but I just wanted to also ask you about the Abhinav Bindra targeting performance centers that you run. You know, and I remember that this was again something that Abhinav always dreamt of actually you know, directly being involved in bringing sports science back up to Indian athletes. And of course, now you have many centers spread across. And I remember, again, one of the things that Abhinav had spoken to me about once was that how he really wanted to get in some of the best equipment from around the world that's available for recovery or for testing and things like that. And obviously, talking with you, I found out that you know, you have a lot of equipment. But tell me a little bit, were you there from the inception when this was happening?
So the whole idea behind Abhinav Bindra targeting performance was born was during the end of building up to the Rio Olympic Games, where during the journey from 2012 to 2016, there were a lot of, as I've said, Abhinav had few injuries. We were working on it, and it was an ongoing process. And we went to the best of best centers in Germany, Italy, and it was quality rehab, and it was objective data-driven rehab, performance training, which helped him. scale or get that notch higher than other athletes. And that's where, after he retired from active sport, the idea was to give back to the sporting community what, as an athlete in 22 years of his career, he has gained or he has learned or the challenges he has faced. And that's where he realized that sports science is something which is a very crucial element, because in India, we have ample amount of talent. We have coaching staff. But when it comes to a scientific element to sport, it has not been very scientifically managed. And that's where the idea was born, to set up a world-class center, which is at par with, you know, German, Italian facilities, which are there, and provide it to the masses at an affordable costing, where the athletes, now they don't need to travel to, you know, various centers across the globe. They can come to our facility, where we have set up various labs. We have a postural lab, we have a functional lab, we have a gait run analysis lab, we have a biomechanics lab. We have a rehab recovery lab, where we just don't cater athletes from shooting, but we cater athletes from different sports. The whole idea about this facility has been to have a data-driven approach. When an athlete comes in, we do assessments which are objective in nature, specific to their requirements. Once the assessment is done, we have precise numbers to quantify the areas where they need to improve and the areas where they have made some gains. For the first time, the support staff or the experts are accountable. So once there are numbers in place on the same technology or labs, the athlete can work on their areas where they can improve or shortcomings. And the support staff is accountable to be a part of that progress. And after 3 months, we do reassessment. Athletes are able to see and question as well, that this is where I was, this is what training was being imparted, where I'm moving. And that's where we have seen quality results, which is required. So whatever work you do, it needs to transform the field of play. And in last 6 to 7 years, you know, our first center was established in 2016 in Mohali, which was our flagship center. And now we have close to around 12 centers, and the numbers are growing further. And we cater athletes from the age group of 6 to masters athletes as well who come in. And we are able to provide them with different areas of requirement, like talent identification to sports-specific assessment, to performance training, also quality rehab recovery for the athlete, along with other specialty requirements like sports psychology, also nutrition aid to the athlete.
Right. So it's everything that you need. Your first center started from Mohali?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. And I know, I believe you're building one in at the Kalinga Stadium as well in Bhubaneswar now? Or is that already operational?
So the facility is already there in Kalinga Stadium last 3 years, and we have catered thousands of athletes there. And the facility in Kalinga Stadium caters to grassroots level athletes, also youth athletes and elite athletes. But there is a scientific system in place where there is talent identification, scientific talent identification, which has been catered. The athletes specific to various sports have been identified, and then they have been nurtured in the most scientific manner, where their every repetition, every training plan has been monitored for the first time. And we are able to also gauge their performance in terms of their physical need, in terms of their mental efficiency as well towards a particular task or sport.
Right. And this is the kind of stuff where we're bound to see the results of this work that you're putting in 5-10 years from now. You know, when you have this batch of athletes who've actually had access to world-class systems and people to guide them right from the beginning. And because that's where intervention is really, really required. It's because it's so hard to work with somebody who's already 18 or 19 years old and their body has kind of settled into certain patterns and things like that. So very, very hard to reverse that. But if you start right at the beginning, at the grassroots level, and that's where everybody needs to start. But of course, the results are not immediately apparent, and you have to wait for a few years to see actually where that goes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Ranawat, for being here and for sharing all these wonderful insights. It's been a pleasure.
This was an episode of Secrets of Sports Science. I'll be back next week with a new guest. Until then, if you have any questions, you can write to me at rudraneil@gmail.com. That's rudraneil@gmail.com. For the latest updates on this podcast, do like and follow at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.